It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Welcome back to the CVV Show. And if no one's told you yet today, you're awesome. Not just because you're listening, just in general. You're awesome. Yeah. This episode is brought to you by betonline.ag and Untuckit. And let's be honest, 2019 was a banner year for professional wrestling. AEW was announced and then started TV in October. WWE made history when a women's match was the main event at WrestleMania. Tessa Blanchard became the number one contender for the Impact World Championship and then became the first female to be the world champion. That was in January, but she became the number one contender in 2019. And on October 8th, NWA Power made its debut. You've heard me say it before, but it bears repeating. This is the absolute best time to be a pro wrestling fan and subsequently the best time to be a pro wrestler as well. The fact that we've got options to watch wrestling every single weekday is so exciting. And in this chat with Billy Corgan, who's the owner and president of the NWA, we dig into why he felt now was the right time to bring it back and why they decided to bring it back in the way that they did with the look and the feel of the show. Hey, if you could do me a favor, could you just leave a review on Apple Podcasts? That'd be so, so helpful. We're going to keep shouting you out on every single episode as our betonline.ag fan of the week. And betonline.ag is your online sportsbook expert. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for a 50% welcome bonus. And these reviews are really what's been helping the show grow as much as it's been growing. And thank you for subscribing as well. You're just helping to spread the word about the show with the interviews that we've been having, and I see your tweets. I see your Instagram stories. Thank you for tagging me. Thank you for letting other people know that these interviews exist. This interview comes from Old Danjo. O-L Danjo. Old Danjo. It's titled, Only Wrestling Podcast That Puts Out Multiple Good Interviews in a Week. Chris gives great interviews consistently. Only wrestling podcast I listen to every week because he's got diverse interviews, not just the same guests as all the others. I will continue to listen and pass on the word to other wrestling fans. Well, thanks, Old Danjo. I think we just passed on the word to everyone and all the wrestling fans that are listening here. And thank you for the kind words. The idea here is to try to do as many different interviews as possible. And the goal is an interview a week, but we've had so many interviews recently that we're pumping out two interviews this week, three last week, at least two next week. So yeah, we're just going to keep putting these out. And I think that if we keep putting out two a week, simple math says we'll get to at least 100 interviews. I believe if you do the math, that's 104 interviews. Yes, 52 times two is 104. So there you go. That's the betonline.ag. Fan of the week. Remember to use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, for your 50% welcome bonus at betonline.ag. Billy Corgan is such an interesting guy. And I'm sure you know him as the lead singer of the Smashing Pumpkins, or as he jokes in this interview, the rat in a cage guy. He's also a massive wrestling fan. He worked with TNA for about a year and a half, which didn't end that well. It ended in a lawsuit, which we get into a little bit here. He even tried to buy TNA, and before the lawsuit, of course. And when that didn't work out, he ended up buying the NWA and its storied history, which brings us to now. Him and Dave Lagana are the brains behind Power. That's with three R's, by the way, NWA Power. And if you haven't seen it, it's a throwback to the old school studio wrestling with a little bit of a modern day twist to it. I've been wanting to sit down and do this interview for a while, and I'm so glad that Billy had the time to do this. Not only is he part of the NWA, he's still touring with his music. So ladies and gentlemen, it's the one and only Billy Corgan. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you for doing this. And congratulations on everything with NWA.
It's really a tribute to the NWA team and the roster that we're as far as we are. It's You know, as I said, and I was criticized in the beginning when I bought the NWA for not spending more money. And I said, look, you can throw a lot of money at professional wrestling, but it doesn't mean it goes anywhere. So having the patience and putting together the right team behind the scenes and building a roster that you can be really proud of that can execute my vision of you know, what I think professional wrestling can be going into the 21st century, that takes time. And it's really starting to pay off now, and I'm really excited. But, you know, the cool thing is you can make big plans, but we're so deep in it. Like, we have a pay-per-view today. It's like, then there's just the reality of running a show and somebody misses a flight, and, you know, you're in that too. So we're somewhere in there.
I think there's still a lot of people that go, the Smashing Pumpkins guy runs a wrestling federation?
I prefer the Rat in the Cage guy runs a...
Rat in the Cage guy.
Rat in the Cage guy.
The 1979 guy?
I go with Rat in the Cage guy. That sounds a little bit more sinister.
The World is a Vampire guy?
Yeah, The World is a Vampire guy. Yeah, I did write that. It's been a very interesting journey. The simplest answer I have for the idea is that when I was a kid, there were three things I really loved: professional wrestling, music, and baseball. And my little throwaway line here is that I've been able to work in professional wrestling, obviously music, but I even had a discussion one point with the Chicago Cubs about maybe even being, you know, part of the ownership. Obviously, I would have been a very, very minority stake.
Still.
But I think to tell anybody, hey, if you had three dreams when you were a kid and you could live all three dreams, I guess maybe if I was an Imagineer for Disney, that would do it all, because so I've been very, very lucky, very fortunate to pursue the things I'm interested in. And I think what I would point to is I've worked very hard in whatever I've engaged in. So I'm not just willing to get into the dreamy part. I'm really willing to do the hard work and really learn how to be successful in those endeavors. And that's why I have so much respect for the people that have come before me in the wrestling business and the music business, because it's such a tough thing to be successful in, and particularly over the long term. I'm 30 plus years in music.
Right.
And in professional wrestling side, I guess I'm somewhere in the range of 7 to 8 years. So it's been a very interesting journey.
But I don't think people realize that you're very hands-on with this. I think when people see Billy Corgan's name attached at one point to TNA, now to NWA, they go, oh, he's just the money guy.
But yeah, well, you know what? And you know, obviously that's what Dixie Carter saw me as. I mean, I thought I was being brought in to help the company, which I did. But at the end of the day, I think it's pretty easy to see that I was brought in as some sort of strange insurance policy. They could either provide cash or a chip that they could play to try to get a network deal. And that was the interest in me being part of the creative team. That's obviously water under the bridge. Not that I'm bitter. But, I think, look, I don't mind, you know, Eric Bischoff once said controversy creates cash or whatever,
sure,
something like that.
Book, yeah.
It's wrestling. I don't care what people think, in the sense of if it's good for the product, it's good for the business that people talk smack, totally fine with that. But at some point, I think there's a through line there that I'm a creative person, and where I'm good at is taking a creative vision and executing it on a business level. That's a bit boring, but the fact of the matter is I've done that now for two businesses. And it takes a lot of patience, and it takes a lot of faith in your vision. My vision for professional wrestling is quite different than most people's visions. Now, right now, people will point at the NWA and say, that's a bit too throwbacky for me, or I like the throwback vibe. They totally underestimate what we're going to do. This is just our entry point.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm an answer question you're not asking, but if you look, we bought a 70 now one-ish year brand. At some point, you have to address the elephant in the room. Why would you call it the NWA or want it to be called the NWA if you're not going to try to balance this incredible history against the reality of 2020? Mm. So you have to address the history. You have to decide how your product differentiates from all the other great wrestling companies that are currently running, minus one. And no bitterness. So I think you see what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to blab on. It's a little bit boring.
Well, do you want to be in the conversation with right now? It's WWE, AEW, and then
wait. I'm going to cut you off. We are in the conversation.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm not a billionaire. We are nowhere near as funded as the other companies that are being talked about. And Ring of Honor, who we enjoy a great partnership with, by the way, is owned by a $3 billion company called Sinclair. So Ring of Honor, AEW, and WWE are all owned by billionaires. So to even be in the conversation without that same level of resources, that's more a credit to our hard work and our creativity. And that's exactly the way I raised the Smashing Pumpkins through the ranks of the rock business, was we had to be a better band. We had to tell better stories, you know, musically speaking. And that's exactly the blueprint for the NWA. It's not that big a mystery. So if you're going to try to bring a revolutionary, on some level, wrestling product to the table, well, if you make the curious decision that you're going to start with a bit of a throwback feel as far as your television product, people go, well, how is that going to revolutionize anything? You have to get people's attention first. Mm-hmm. If you don't have their attention, they're not going to listen to what you're going to say down the road.
Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest fan, and I've been very vocal about that, on wrestling that, by and large, is driven strictly with what happens in the ring. I'm a big fan, and because I grew up in the era of promos and great personalities, you know, great guys on the mic, including managers like Bobby Heenan and, of course, Jim Cornette, that's the world that I grew up in, and I still believe in that world 100%. So I'm trying to bring that world forward into the 21st century, and I think we can do it. So if I don't believe in my heart that, let's call it, you know, the 4-star, 5-star Meltzer match is at the foundational core of what will revolutionize the wrestling business as far as a mainstream product. Now, right now, AEW is making a very good case that I'm wrong in my assertion, but that's okay, because ultimately they will get to prove me wrong or right, and ultimately I get to prove my version wrong or right, and that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah. So what is it that you guys are heading towards if this is just the beginning?
I think when you look at anything that crosses over into a mainstream frame, you're looking for a balance of what makes it relevant. Okay, history in the case of the NWA is what makes us relevant, whether we can address that history and live up to it. I think you need a product that stands alone and is a bit different. We're probably the most promo-heavy company in professional wrestling at the moment, so that's what makes us a bit different, and obviously how we execute those stories in the ring.
Yeah.
And then I think ultimately we're going to have to get younger and faster and balance what is obviously a very important movement in wrestling to that, you know, the 5-star Meltzer, you know, that needs to be integrated. I was a fan of WCW in the dying days, and I remember seeing Chris Jericho and Rey Mysterio and Sugar Shane and Hoovy and, you know, these guys going out and do these amazing things. And I remember thinking, why are these guys being held back?
Yeah.
And here we are 20 years later, and you see, well, ultimately the fans decided that they like that more than... So you have to integrate all, you know, basically the evolution of the business, just like I do in music, that has to be taken into account. We're not ignorant of that, but we don't think that's our foundational principle. So if we can find the balance between, let's call it that new style, which I appreciate, but I don't think is foundational to our success, what we're really good at, and I think what we're excelling at the moment, which is telling really good stories, and then tie it to the historical root of the NWA, I think that's our blueprint for success. And whether or not we can pull it off, acquire the resources, acquire the TV deals, or whatever else we need to do to prosper, that's going to be our story. And what's great about that story is it's not to the detriment of anyone else.
Right. Well, we got to thank our sponsor for this episode, Untuck It. And if you ever see an untucked button down, well, they just look bad, right? Why? Well, because they're not meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, though, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt that's actually designed to be worn untucked. And it doesn't matter what your size or your shape is, because Untuck It shirts always fall at the exact perfect untucked length. There's more than 50-plus fit combinations, and Untuck It shirts look great whether you're tall, whether you're short, slim, athletic, whatever you happen to be. I love them because they don't fall all the way down to your knees when you untuck them. And we all know, guys, if you've ever worn a button-down shirt with, like, a suit, and then you're like, let's go out for a drink after work, I'll just untuck my shirt so I look a little more casual. Well, you look more like an idiot, actually. With Untuck It, though, you can choose from lots of different styles, like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. And your shirts with Untuck It will never look too baggy or bulgy or too long or too big ever again. Their website, by the way, is super easy to use. They even have a whole page devoted to helping you find the perfect fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuckit is the way to go. Just visit untuckit.com. Use the promo code BLUE, that's blue, for 20% off at checkout. That's UNTUCKIT.com, untuckit.com. The promo code is blue for 20% off.
I don't think anybody else in wrestling will pursue the business the way we're pursuing the business. So we will either rise or fall on my idea. And it's not like we're against the other guy. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we're very complementary to the other great promotions in the business, because we're not really their competition on that level. It's sort of like you like red, I like blue, and I think that's perfect.
What I find really interesting is, had things worked out with you in Impact Wrestling, we wouldn't even be sitting here having this conversation about NWA.
No, I'd be broke and crying.
Because you were going to buy Impact or TNA?
No, I tried to buy it, and I very forcefully tried to insert myself in the process. I had a legal right to do so, which is very complicated and boring and probably a podcast unto itself. And the forces that were against me conspired to defraud me from those resources, and I went to court over that. The judge didn't necessarily rule against me as much as saying, I can't rule for you now, but if you want to prosecute your case. It was never resolved in that way. I obviously finger Dixie Carter in that defrauding, and I've been public about that as well.
Yeah.
What ended up happening was the case was settled, and what is now Anthem Impact, and I ended in that particular time on a handshake. That handshake is no longer valid, but the point of the matter is that it was resolved in a business frame, but it was never resolved sort of spiritually speaking. Because I had every right to try to take over a company that I had invested $1.83 million in. It was all on paper.
Yeah.
And like I said, if anybody ever wanted to do a deep dive podcast on it, it's a fascinating story on and why the wrestling business has been held back for so many years because of those types of insanities and egos and basically like a lack of gravity as far as it applies to business principles.
Well, sign me up. We'll do that one next time I see you. I'll go for as long as you want to talk
We'll see how fans react to this little
they're going to like
right
this.
Here.
I know
okay,
this.
Okay, good. Okay.
Are you surprised that Impact is still somehow in business after everything?
Not at all, because really it is an incredible fan base. There's a very, very loyal fan base that's really tied to what was TNA and now Impact product, and I think the people who took it over benefited from that. I used to say to people, I mean, if you think of the 14 or 15 years that TNA ran before it was taken over by Anthem, you know, easily over $100 to $200 million was spent promoting that company, which is now called Impact. So it doesn't surprise me. You know, I have my opinions on the product, but overall, I credit that more so to the great fan base.
Well, and you know, all of that all leads to where we are right now, NWA here in Atlanta. I think when you first bought the rights for NWA and really sat back, were you planning? Because nothing really happened for the first year or two.
That's not true. But,
I guess from the outside looking in,
it felt like that. Yes. Yeah, it felt like that. It was a lot of strategic moves. There was a good degree of stuff behind the scenes, including talking to Impact about things we could do. We did a little bit of business with them. We worked a little bit with CZW. We worked obviously with Ring of Honor. We have a continued partnership with Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. And of course, we brought the title to different promotions, including Tried and True in Tennessee. Mm. So it was the question of, do we blow a bunch of money to do something, if we really deep down believe it's going to go nowhere, or do we try to sort of build this piecemeal? And I think where it really started clicking was building around Nick Aldis. The great bonus in that was we discovered in the telling of the story of Tim Storm and Nick Aldis that fans really, really like Tim Storm. And
yeah.
Tim Storm's a huge star for us, and he's done an incredible job. And he's a total pleasure to work with behind the scenes. So so we got basically in trying to build around Nick, we, you know, Tim came along in that deal. And slowly but surely, we, you know, we put some content out, kind of got, you know, a feel for what the audience wouldn't accept. And, you know, I think I guess it would have been a year and a half ago, we ran the NWA 70s show, which was headlined by Nick and Cody. And that did quite well. And we followed that with Crockett Cup, which we did as a co-promotion with Ring of Honor. So we were able to prove that we could run a big pay-per-view event. We drew. We did good money. We did the biggest house ever in the history of the Tennessee Fairgrounds. I mean, when you think of all the promotions, including the NWA in the past, that ran in that building, we did the biggest cash gate in the history of the building. Wow. So we proved that the NWA had some staying power. And we had to clean up some contractual mess with some of the affiliates that were still remaining from the previous era. There was lots of things we had to clean up. And even there were still lingering legal issues from taking over the ownership as recently as like 3 months ago.
With you being famous in your own right with a very popular band for many, many decades, I'm sure that the wrestling fans don't care that you have this musical career. But
most don't, and that's fine by me. I want to be, you know, seen in wrestling as a person in wrestling, and I don't think I should get a special...
No. But I imagine the flip side is, I bet your music fans are like, why are you doing this wrestling
Oh, very
thing?
Much so. Yeah, yeah. I would say 90 to 95% just scratch their heads and just think it's like my weird other thing that I do. Don't really understand it. And the only good thing that's happened, I would say, in the past year or so with the NWA is... Even the fans who don't get it at least have come around to understand that it is valuable, it is important, and now that they've seen it have some success, they at least look at it as like, well, he's not wasting his time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, getting this weird argument like, why don't you just work more on music? And it's like, no, it's important to do other things in life. And after 30 years, I like other challenges in my life. And actually, it's helped my musical life because it keeps me fresh when I go back. We're talking on a Friday here, but I'll be back in the studio on a Monday working on new Smashing Pumpkins.
Wow.
So that's my life, and I'm cool with it.
How do you find that balance?
You don't. You don't.
Did you ever get to a point where you're like, maybe it's a bit too much wrestling right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then do you just... I mean, how do you balance that? Do you break out a guitar and start writing music?
No. You just have to make good decisions, and you have to rely on, great people like David Lagana, you know, the vice president of NWA, to sometimes just carry the ball where you just can't, you know, whether I'm on tour or I'm not available 4 hours because I'm on a plane across the country. There are times where you just have to trust the people around you to execute. I wish that I could give my full time to my musical life, and I wish I could give my full time to my wrestling life, but it's just not in the cards, and so we just try to find balance. But yeah, there's no perfect balance.
Is part of your job still consuming a lot of wrestling?
I actually, believe it or not, I don't consume a lot of wrestling, and I never really did. I mean, there were times where I watched more when I was young. I watched a lot in the late 90s into the dying days of ECW. I watched real a lot then, and then probably about 5-6 years ago, I started watching again a lot, and I went out a lot to see a lot of shows, because as I got back into the professional world, I kind of wanted to see where the wind was blowing. And that's sort of those times, those three different periods have obviously formed my idea of what can be successful going forward in wrestling.
What would you say is the biggest thing you learned from Impact Wrestling that you can now apply to NWA, good or bad?
Wait, say that one more time.
What's the biggest thing you think you learned from Impact Wrestling? Can now be applied to NWA?
Well, two things. One is that the kind of vision I had for wrestling was only going to work with a total level of control. Navigating the political channels in a bigger wrestling company were never going to work. So, you know, jokingly, even if Vince McMahon had called me, you know, after I left TNA and said, you know, kid, I want you to come up here, and I wouldn't want to work in this structure, not to say anything disrespectful of the McMahons or how they run their business. I don't want to be a cog in a bigger wheel, you know, because my vision sort of takes a sort of, it has to be applied from the top down. Because it goes all the way through staffing and how we run. And then the other thing I would say is that, I was intimately involved and happily so with, you know, the whole deletion angle, Broken Universe. Got to shoot a lot of great stuff with Matt and Jeff. Shot on the Hardy's property for the one crazy segment where we were, I don't know, drones. I mean, we did it all. Can't believe the fire marshals didn't show up. Anyway, so I saw where the power of an idea can wrestling is 100+ years old.
Yeah.
And like music, a cynicism can creep in that tells you there's really nothing new. And kids and great ideas can prove over and over again, no, that's not true. You can always rewrite the rules of gravity. And so being intimately involved with the deletion angle told me that if you got a cool idea and you have great talented people like Matt and Jeff and the other people that were involved in that, Rosemary comes to mind, and Abyss and Crazy Steve, you can change the world. You can turn it upside down on its head. And if you remember during that period of time, that was the most talked about thing in professional wrestling, good and bad, as it should be. So I saw where the power of an idea can still work even in an august institution like professional wrestling. So I was able to see that at the highest levels. It's one thing to have an idea on the indies and see if it gets over with, you know, a couple hundred people somewhere. It's another thing to be on national television, enter the national or international debate, really see. I think our ratings that week went up like 125%. I mean, it was rocket fuel for whatever we were trying to do at the moment. So, there was a real difference there.
And the fact that the show is now NWO Power is now being put on YouTube, I feel like actually gives you guys, pardon the pun, gives you a lot of power because people can watch it. Sure, when it's streaming live, yep, right at 6:05, and they can watch it whenever they feel like it. And they can go back through the archives.
Yeah, I think now we're starting to see binge watching, and people who didn't think it was for them are now starting to show up and then watch, you know, the season one and two. So,
yeah,
it's exciting. I know that's something, and you know, when you're talking about after I bought the company and then kind of this, what were you doing the first year or so? I think what we were doing was trying to really ascertain whether a digital strategy or a digital based strategy could work for a modern wrestling company, because in many ways we're a production house first and a live event wrestling brand second.
Yeah.
And that had never really been tried, best I could tell, outside of some MTV stuff. But it was always heavy TV production, and let's see how it goes. But our thing was, we will pivot from being a TV production first to a live touring. And people always ask, when are we going to start touring? And we're in discussions right now to start doing live touring events. So far it's working. But it took time to actually look at the numbers and see, can this work? And, you get these crazy moments where something goes viral. Like Dave cut a clip of Scott Steiner walking down the stairs, and the clip went viral. It's just Scott Steiner walking down the stairs.
Scott Steiner.
Yeah, but I mean, the beauty is I think that clip did, the clip of Scott Steiner, I think, did more views than the actual show itself.
Wow.
And I'm not saying one has more value, but in the cumulative era of digital media, a view is a view is a view, right?
Yep.
So we'll take it, because ultimately it will hopefully steer people back to the power product.
Do you see any parallels between what you guys are doing here in studio and Lucha Underground?
Not much. I never.
They were in a studio. It was being kind of run by someone outside of wrestling.
Yeah, but if you remember, they had a network deal, or they had some form of a network deal. It was Mark Burnett Productions, and there was some affiliation, I believe, with AAA. So they already had an established brand company supplying a certain degree of talent. They had one of the biggest producers of television in the world, or actually the history of television,
right,
producing Burnett, the yeah. show, and they actually had TV deals. We are completely 100% financed by me, and it originates between our relationships with who we work with and our talent. So there are no other contrivances to surround us other than our relationships. And so I don't think there's ever been a promotion like us in the history of the business. If there is, I'd love to hear about it, because I would love to study it, because we're really trying to build a road that's not there.
Well, look, I'm so happy we were able to have this conversation.
Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you. But I'm happy we were able to have this conversation now, like early on in NWA.
Now we're going to end on a teaser, right?
Okay.
You're going to cut out all of that stuff about Dixie, right?
Yeah, that's all out.
All right, I got you. You got me on that
Ooh,
one.
Yeah, right. I got you.
I don't want to get sued.
You're not going to get sued.
All right, thank you, my friend.
But everyone's going to see that and go, what did they say? What was
that? That's called a wrestling. Is it a teaser?
Yeah.
Taster? Good angle.
Well, how about that, my friend? And thank you for sticking around all the way until the end. Snap a screenshot. Tag me at Chris Van Vliet. Let me know that you're listening to this one. Also, I have a giveaway going on right now on Instagram for some incredible hand-drawn wrestling art from the extremely talented Hal Haney. So at Chris Van Vliet on Instagram, make sure you go and check that out. And yes, as we alluded to at the end of the interview there, we had to make a little edit in the interview for legal reasons. But, you know, it's just so exciting watching the growth of the NWA, first through the 10 Pounds of Gold series on YouTube, and now with NWA Power, Tuesday nights at 6:05 on YouTube. And their subscriber base is growing very quickly. So next time you're on YouTube, toss them a subscribe. Hey, toss your guy Chris Van Vliet a subscribe too, while you're at it. Why not? Right? And NWA's been doing their thing on TV now for not even half a year yet, 5 months. So it's really exciting to know that they've done this much in 5 months. And it's exciting to know that, you know, what's possible for them and what they're going to continue to do, not just with NWA Power, but with some of the pay-per-views they've been having. So can't wait to see what's in store for them in 2020. Winston Churchill said, "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." I've had a lot of questions asking me when that CHOP video will be posted on YouTube. And if you follow me on Instagram, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I took 20 chops at Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze's wrestling school, Flatbacks, in Apopka, Florida. And my chest looks like I took 20 chops. Not anymore, actually. It healed up very nicely. That video will be posted next week. So we're going to post on the podcast and on YouTube. We're going to post the interviews with Tyler Breeze. Then we're going to post the interview with Sean Spears. And then we're going to end the week next week with the chops. And it's not just chops, by the way. I also took some bumps. I ran the ropes. I locked it up with Sean Spears, which was really cool, by the way. Locking it up with Sean Spears. So that's next week. If you're not subscribed yet, please, now's your chance. Big week coming up next week. But enjoy the rest of this one. Have a great weekend. We'll talk soon.